Thanks for tuning in to the Illuminations Podcast. We love having you here. It is our mission to be a beacon of light on your journey towards conscious and mindful living. In our weekly episode, we bring you inspiring change makers in the field of spirituality, healing, personal growth, and wellness who share their insight and expertise so you can navigate your way to a happier, healthier, and more purposeful life.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Illuminations World Podcast. I'm your host, Nia, and in this episode, I have a very special guest with me. She is Xenia Barucha. Xenia is a holistic psychologist and relationship counselor. And today, our topic is all about how to heal from toxic relationships and trauma bonds. So let's get straight into it. Hi, Xenia. Thank you so much for coming in today.
Hi, Nia. Thank you for having me.
Absolutely. So tell me, Xenia, what exactly is a toxic relationship? Okay. And what's a trauma bond? Enlighten me.
Okay. So first of all, a toxic relationship is basically a relationship that has two major elements. The first element is something that's known as a victim mentality, or a sufferer. And the other is something that's known as a controller or a manipulator. And when you have a victim and a manipulator personality, that forms a toxic relationship, which is very unhealthy and not at all harmonious.
And how often do we find, if it's not we, like people, how often are people in toxic relationships?
A lot more often than expected.
So what are some signs? How do I know what a toxic relationship looks like? Can you give me some examples?
That's an excellent question, first of all. Yes, there are actually a lot of signs that help you identify what a toxic relationship is. A toxic relationship can be defined when you lose your touch with reality. You're in this illusionary space constantly. When you feel that even if your loved ones, your family members are trying to warn you, you're not able to look at that. You feel that they're either jealous or they're trying to stop your progress or they're trying to inhibit you from getting that love that you deserve. But on the contrary, it's the exact opposite. A toxic relationship is also defined when there's a lot of manipulation. There's a complete lack of transparency and trust. So there's constant lies. You can't trust at all. There's no truth at all. And deep down somewhere, even though you're putting up this facade, you're in this illusion, deep down you know that you're not at peace. Deep down you know that, you know, something is amiss. You're constantly feeling anxious, you're constantly feeling stressed, you're constantly feeling like, you know, it's just not working.
And why are people in toxic relationships? Like, I know you mentioned that it takes a victim and someone who manipulates the victim. So let's just rewind a little bit. Why does anyone ever get into that specific scenario?
A lot of it is very unconscious. You don't even realize that you've jumped right into a toxic relationship until and unless you're actually in it, you know? And a lot of it starts off from your childhood. A lot of it starts off from the way you've perceived things, from how you've developed, you know, assumptions about things, from how your environment has contributed to it and how you've internalized that environment. And when that dysfunctionality, you know, carries forward, you find yourself getting attracted in a toxic relationship because that's all you know how to survive with, unfortunately.
So it then becomes like a coping mechanism.
It's a coping mechanism. It's a habit. It's a behavior that you don't even realize you're caught up in till you're actually, you know, bam, in it.
So can you give me an example? Like, I'm sure you've seen a lot of people, a lot of toxic relationships. So give me an example of one of your cases or people you helped.
So as a relationship counselor, I have seen a lot of toxic relationships. It usually starts off with, you know, in case of a romantic relationship, it starts off with a couple coming in. one of the partners is desperately trying to hold on to the relationship, to the marriage, to the equation, and the other is, you know, like trying to control. The other is just like in their own world, is the one that's manipulating this. Now, the victim or the sufferer is so dependent on the manipulator that their existence depends on this. And it can get so toxic in different ways, you know, depending on how intense it is, depending on the duration, depending on their own individual personalities. But giving you an excellent example, I had a couple that had come to me and the wife was the victim, the husband, the manipulator. And the wife would wake up every day on the dot at 5 a.m. just to make sure that she's making good tea for her husband. Even on days and times when, you know, she's sick, when she's burnt out, when she's exhausted. No, if I don't, then he's going to get upset at me. He's going to get mad at me. You know, what if he stops talking to me? Where am I going to go? And the husband would go ahead and manipulate her into thinking, oh, this is your duty as a wife. This is what you need to do. This is what good partnership is all about. The wife would keep giving and giving and giving. It never stopped at just tea, you know. It always went on and on. The husband wanted 3 kids. The wife was never ready physically, mentally, was forced into going ahead. The husband wanted the wife to stay at home, not work. She sacrificed on her ambitions, on her desires, and it just kept continuing till the extent that she was like a sort of a, you know, a living object, you know, just there to take care of his needs, his wants, his desires. And it just went on and on. And through therapy, you know, we ended up identifying that this is not right. This is very manipulative. We ended up identifying that the husband was having an affair. The wife was not even aware about it. You know, we cleaned all of that. We healed that. We started establishing healthy boundaries. And that's how we shifted that relationship. The wife ended up, of course, separating from the husband. She's in a much better, you know, stage of life now. But yeah, it can get very toxic.
Wow. So as I'm hearing this, you know, there's part of me that's thinking, okay, clearly the husband is the bad guy. But there's also another part of me saying that, you know, it takes two to tango.
Absolutely.
Right? So yes. You can't, just because he's a manipulator doesn't necessarily mean he's a bad guy. He can only ever be a manipulator if there's a victim. So what do you have to say about that? So people, let's say if anybody who's listening to this is being identified as a manipulator or a victim, what do they do? And what does that mean?
So the irony of a toxic relationship is that a lot of times the roles interchange as well along with the equation. So even in this context, at the later point, we started identifying that the wife had picked up on the manipulation as well, staying with her husband. And the husband had started feeling like a victim, but of course, at a lower extent. So it becomes very toxic because there's toxicity from both ends. Mm. There's a dysfunctional behavior from both ends, whether it's a victim or a manipulator. And a lot of times, the manipulator feeds on the victim. Mm. But the manipulator feeds on the victim to boost their own, you know, ego. Mm. Because there's a lot of inferiority deep inside. So they're trying to substitute that, which unfortunately never gets substituted.
So if you look at it from a different perspective, the victim is clearly the victim because of low self-esteem, right?
The victim is the victim because of low self-esteem because they feel that their survival depends on the manipulator. And then it shifts.
Yeah. And you can also see how the manipulator is feeding off the victim because it's also coming from somewhere that where he or she feels inferior.
Absolutely.
Right?
Yes.
And that is also a sign of low self-esteem.
Exactly.
So they're pretty much a perfect match.
Exactly.
So how do you shift this? What do you do?
So we work on the issues that started before they got into the relationship. Because the relationship is just a pattern that they're carrying forward. Mm. But obviously, you know, their personality is dependent and has been formed based on a lot of stuff they experienced.
Yeah.
So what was it that actually lowered their self-esteem in the first place? What was it that, you know, led them to be what they are now?
Interesting. So can you give me an example of, let's take this couple, for instance?
Yes, absolutely. So continuing with the same example, we ended up identifying that the wife identified herself as a victim because she saw her parents going through the same stuff. She could identify with her mother because in a way her mother was also a victim in their own marriage. And that's how, as a child, she had, you know, developed this assumption that this is what a relationship is like.
Wow. So she was just playing out what was known to her.
Exactly. Playing out what was known to her, playing out what was safe to her in a way, which was actually never safe. But she never actually saw a healthy relationship. So this is what she thought was safe, was healthy, was harmonious. Mm. And she was just, you know, identifying and following that.
And I imagine something similar must have happened to the husband as well, right?
In the case of the husband, it's actually a different story. The husband was in a previous relationship where the wife or the lady had demanded a lot from him. And he'd made a decision that, you know what, I'm done with this. I'm not going to allow myself to be taken for granted. Wow. I'm not going to allow myself to be the giver, and just flipped to the other side completely.
Wow. And that for him was the way he coped with
that. Yes, that was the beginning of the manipulator in him because of those wounds.
Oh, wow.
Yeah.
So that would lead us to trauma bonds, right? So what exactly is a trauma bond?
That would lead us to a trauma bond, and that would lead us to the development of that toxicity. As we've realized, that toxic pattern starts in when we feel something is incomplete. Mm. So we try to substitute that by putting forward something that's not, you know, healthy, that's not harmonious. That's why it becomes dysfunctional. That's why it becomes toxic. A trauma bond over here gets generated because of all that toxicity. Trauma is interconnected with that toxicity, no matter what. So a trauma bond is basically a connection or a bond, you know, in energy form, mentally, physically, emotionally, binding you with the person connected. Mm. So if I'm here and I have a trauma bond that's connected with someone who's not even in the same place, but I'll still end up, you know, feeling, I'll still end up getting affected because of the intensity of that trauma bond.
Oh, wow. So when you have a trauma bond, what does that make you do? So how do you act? How do you behave?
A trauma bond brings you further into more dysfunctional behavior patterns. And it continues that pattern of toxicity without you realizing it. Trauma is one of the deepest, the heaviest forms of energy. And which is why it carries forward in your work. It carries forward in your career. It carries forward in every relationship you have. And it will keep carrying forward the pattern, the cycle, till you actively break it, till you actively work on it. And this creates limiting beliefs. So it's like a trauma bond is basically freezing you in from achieving your complete potential.
Wow. So in this case of the wife, it was her releasing herself from these trauma bonds that allowed her to finally end the marriage.
Absolutely. And her working on her limiting beliefs with those trauma bonds, that she's enough the way she is, that this is not what a healthy relationship entails, that you deserve a lot more than just abuse, than trauma. And that's when the shift happens.
So why is it that, because I imagine, like, not just in India, but like everywhere around the world, there are marriages that are abusive, and clearly that's very toxic relationship, right? Yet the partners, even if they separate, they perhaps find another partner, or they perhaps go back to the abuser as well. So why is it that even though you consciously know this is bad for me, and even though a lot of people are aware that, okay, this relationship is bad for me, and I know this consciously, but there is something about this person that just draws me in.
That's precisely because of the trauma bond that's not released.
So that comes down to the trauma bond.
Absolutely. Ah. The trauma bond where you know it's traumatic, but it's still very familiar. you're used to it, you don't want to break out of it because you think this is the best you deserve, that keeps binding you in and that keeps creating those similar patterns.
Interesting. So, okay, so now let's talk about how do we break it? So when we identify that we are in a toxic relationship, how do we break it?
There's a variety of techniques that you can use in order to break this. One of the most important ones is, you know, working through those past versions of yourself where you're actually, you know, going back to those situations. So building up on the same example, continuing forward with it, with the wife, we went back to each and every tragic, traumatic experience and incident she encountered, not only in the relationship, but also before that. We ended up resolving that trauma. We ended up shifting the way she thought. And that's how we broke that trauma bond. Wow. In connection with her husband, we also did a proper couple session where we ended up identifying that this is not healthy, establishing healthy boundaries the right way, mm-hmm. understanding that, you know, it takes two to, you know, make this work. Mm-hmm. And if it's not working, then it's healthy to even separate off. That's how we broke that trauma bond once and for all.
So can you give us a couple of examples of what are some healthy boundaries?
Sure. So healthy boundary in this case with the example was basically, you know, putting across what you want. The wife could never ever convey out what she wanted in life, mm-hmm. what were her desires. You know, she wanted an outing with her husband. She wanted to spend time. She wanted to go forward and pursue her wishes, her desires that she'd stopped. You know, she wanted to go and work. So creating a healthy boundary that way, when the husband would start manipulating and, you know, when she started identifying that he's manipulating, a healthy boundary was, listen, I understand that you're coming from a different stage in life. I understand that you're coming from the way you've been functioning, but this doesn't work for me anymore. And I want you to respect me the way I need to be respected.
So actually verbalize that.
Actually verbalizing it, yes. And if you see, I've used a lot of I statements.
Yes.
So stopping the blame, you know, on the other person, not saying you, but saying I, putting it on yourself so that it opens the partner.
And taking accountability.
Taking accountability. And then the most important, you know, healthy boundary, putting a time frame. I'm going to wait for 6 months to see how this relationship goes. Mm-hmm. And if it's not working even after that, I think it's, you know, important for us to separate and move ahead.
Wow, that must take a lot of willpower as well as courage, especially if you've been coming out or if you've been in that toxic relationship for such a long period of time. And I can completely understand why you would need to do a lot of that inner work and the somatic work as well. So in your opinion, what are some tools or different therapies that would also help with this whole process?
Okay. So as a holistic psychologist, I feel and I use a beautiful blend of cognitive techniques, mm-hmm. as well as a lot more deeper techniques. Mm-hmm. Cognitive techniques such as, you know, CBT, which is cognitive behavior therapy. So working with the conscious mind mm-hmm. of the individual that's so addicted to going back to that same toxic pattern, mm-hmm. working on the thoughts that they have if they don't go back, mm-hmm. working on the extreme feelings that they get when they don't go back. Mm-hmm. So breaking that and doing a lot of subconscious work, you know, using hypnotherapy, very important, very effective, because that helps you reach the very core. Doing inner child work, which is exactly going back to those traumatized versions, helping those traumatized versions heal and moving forward. So it's a beautiful, you know, blend that we do in every session, which brings that speedy momentum that they need. Otherwise, yes, it can get very intense. It can get very heavy. But they find that courage because, you know, they see that shift that's happening. Mm-hmm. And that shift, you know, that energy that comes in when you're healed is so beautiful that they know that that's the right thing to do.
It's like some form of certainty and assurance that comes from within.
Absolutely.
So now that we've talked about toxic relationships, what are some signs of healthy relationships or ideal relationships?
That's again a beautiful question. I feel personally, you know, if people focus on these signs, you can get involved in a romantic relationship, as well as you can simplify and make your existing relationships really beautiful. An amazing sign, a very strong sign to make sure that this is a healthy relationship is one where you respect each other. It all starts with that. You respect the identity, the individuality, the personality of the person, whether it's in a friendship, it's in a romantic relationship, it's at work. And respect starts off with, you know, respecting and creating that healthy boundary. So creating that healthy boundary in the sense that, you know, I'm giving you your space, but I'm also here when you need me. Starting off with that. A lot of people, you know, feel a lot of issues if they are, you know, wanting their partner to be with them all the time. And the partner needs their space, needs their individuality as well. And if they don't, then they think, oh, he or she doesn't love me. They don't like me. But it's not that. You know, it's a lot more than that. Another one is where you're actually communicating the right way. You're expressing out exactly what you want, what you feel, without that expectation or that feeling that you're going to hurt the other person. Okay? And of course, using I statements, using I messages, creating that healthy, harmonious atmosphere. Very important. I think these are the massive signs that generate and identify a healthy relationship.
And when you are in a relationship, how do you then take accountability, or how do you start working on yourself as an individual within the relationship? So what are some ways or some signs that you need to work as a partner, as opposed to blaming the other partner for not fulfilling your needs?
I think the first sign starts off with accepting that you're not perfect as well, and understanding that, you know, you can have your own expectations towards the other person, but you also need to build up so that whatever expectations they have, they can fulfill that. Mm-hmm. And that starts off with being very clean. That starts off with, you know, being very neutral in your approach, whether it's a romantic relationship, it's a friendship, or, you know, it's at work. It starts off with that. It also starts off with identifying what is your own baggage that you're coming with. Mm. Are there things that, you know, you've not resolved from your previous relationships? Mm. Are there wounds that you feel you can project out on the other person unknowingly? Then work on that. Mm-hmm. Are there limiting beliefs that, you know, you've had that, oh, you know what, a relationship means that I need to keep giving and giving? Is there a limiting belief like that or others? Then work on that, because that's how you're actually putting in and doing your bit to make this harmonious.
So now that we've talked a lot about romantic toxic relationships, what are some signs of non-romantic toxic relationship? Because it's not just romantic, isn't it?
Absolutely.
So what are some signs for friendships, families, and so on that people, perhaps they've never identified it as toxic? Because it's coming from a place of love and so on, like you mentioned. So what are some signs for friendships and families that are toxic?
In terms of friendship, a toxic relationship works where one of the friends is, you know, acting as a pushover, and the other is the one that's trying to control, that's trying to, you know, have the upper hand constantly. Again, the roles can change depending on how deep the friendship is, depending on how intense it is. There's a complete lack of healthy boundaries over here as well. It's a sort of, you know, possessiveness that's always there in the friendship. There's a sort of desire that, you know, if you're my friend, you need to be available whenever I want you to be, physically, mentally, emotionally, without understanding anything else. Mm. So that plays a major role as well in creating that toxicity. Also, the person that's a pushover is so out of their own personality, is so lost, and is always constantly trying to please the other person till such an extent that they just go ahead with everything without even, you know, putting or focusing on their own desires, without even considering or seeing what they want from that friendship. And they usually tend to burn out a lot more, a lot
just
faster.
Giving and giving and giving.
Giving and giving. Not expressing out what you want, getting tired out, getting fatigued out, you know, not able to move ahead the right way.
Wow, and that all comes down to lack of boundaries and your low self-esteem.
Absolutely, yes.
And now when it comes to parents or family members, what can a toxic relationship with your parents look like?
I feel it starts from the parents in most of the cases. Unfortunately, 95% of families are dysfunctional in nature around the world. So it starts from the parents. The parents are conditioned in their own way. Yeah. They carry that forward. And that's how, you know, your limited beliefs, your debilitating behaviors start, and it just keeps moving ahead.
Wow. So it's identifying where the root cause is coming from and either accepting it and being at peace with it or working on yourself to set the boundaries and improve your self-esteem.
Even if you accept it and you try to be at peace with it, until and unless you don't heal it, it's going to carry forward no matter what.
So just to step away a little bit from the topic. So when you say heal it, what exactly do you mean?
Heal it by identifying that, first of all, there is an issue here. Mm-hmm. You know, a lot of us as kids are conditioned that, you know, our parents need to be authoritative or our parents need to be strict or display of affection is not having a display of affection is normal, you know, and other toxic patterns. Because of that, we're so limited as individuals. We see things with a certain perspective only. We see things in a black and white approach. And that's what creates that issue because we're then carrying that same mentality forward. Mm. So working on that.
So stopping the pattern.
Stopping the pattern massively. Mm. Working on it so that you don't carry it forward.
Yeah, that makes so much sense. So I think we pretty much covered all the points. Is there anything else you would like to add on to this topic?
I feel that if you just take a little bit of time before jumping into a relationship, mm-hmm. you know, a lot of people get into toxic relationships because it's that initial chemistry, that initial pull, that initial spark, whether it's romantic, whether it's a friendship or otherwise. But if you just pause and check and see, have you worked on your stuff before? Mm. Have you actually, you know, healed and resolved the wounds? Mm. Have you actually done that inner work? Mm. Is it just a projection of the past that's coming in the future? Are you addicted to that toxicity? Or are you actually moving in a harmonious relationship? Mm. When you identify that, I think majority of issues can be resolved very easily.
Wow. Thank you so much for that, Xenia.
Thank you
so much for your insight and the knowledge and the wisdom that you just shared. I truly appreciate it. And I'm sure it helped all our viewers and our listeners as well. So with that, we have come to an end to this podcast. And hopefully we look forward to having you soon with us again.
Absolutely. And thank you for your insightful questions.
Thank you. Thank you so much. Until then, I hope you all enjoyed this episode. I know I did. So until next time with another speaker, another great episode, I will see you then. Take care and live light.
Thanks so much for listening. If you enjoyed this episode, we'd love to have you tune in again next week as we discuss more engaging topics on relationships, health, career, self-care, and spirituality. If you'd like to help support this podcast, please share it with others, post about it on social media, or leave us a rating and review. We'd be extremely grateful. To catch all the latest from us, you can also follow us on Instagram at Illuminations World or visit the Illuminations World YouTube channel for more inspiring content. See you again next week, and until then, live light.